Stephen Englund.
Present.
Commissioner Willie Adams.
Here.
Commissioner Stephen Lee.
I'm here.
And we are expecting Commissioner Ken McNeely. Item 2 is approval of minutes for the July 8, 2025 Board Commission meeting.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there
second.
A second? We have a motion and we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion carries unanimously. Next item, please.
Item 3 is the land acknowledgement. The San Francisco Port Commission acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytu Shalloni, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytu Shalloni have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. We recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytu Shalloni community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. Item 4 is announcements. Please be advised that the ringing of and use of cell phones and similar sound-producing electronic devices are prohibited at this meeting. A member of the public has up to 3 minutes to make public comments on each agenda item unless the Port Commission adopts a shorter period on any item. Public comment must be in respect to the current agenda item. The Commission will take in-person and remote public comments on each item, beginning with commenters in person. For remote public comment, dial 1-415-655-0001 and enter access code 2662-564-6270 #, then dial *3 to raise your hand to comment on the item being discussed. An audio prompt will signal when it is your turn to speak. If you are watching this meeting on SFGov TV, there is a short broadcasting delay. To not miss your chance to comment, please dial when the item you want to comment on is announced, mute your device, and listen to the meeting from your telephone, which has no delay. Item 5 is public comment on items not listed on the agenda.
Is there anyone in the room who wants to make public comment on items not listed on the agenda? If so, please make your way to the podium. Okay, come on up. You have 3 minutes.
Hello, commissioners. My name is Maggie Hallahan. I'm a licensed Coast Guard captain. I'm a San Francisco Sea Scout leader. We utilize the waterfront several days a week. We have Native American youth in our community. We have about 120 year-round youth. So I want to share with you a jurisdiction issue that I'm hoping you'll step up on. San Francisco Marina has something called Gas House Cove, and it has a gas and diesel fuel dock. Some of the submerged water in this map is part of the area of the Burton Act. And I'm hoping that the commission will look into the San Francisco Rec and Park plan to do the remediation. So you can see where all the testing has been done. There's a remediation area in that upper corner. That area is the only area that PG&E will be doing the remediation. California Water Board has told us, the deputy director has said, that this fuel dock can stay there for the whole time that the remediation. It's nothing like Pier 41. And it's the only gas and diesel fuel dock in San Francisco. The port has not completed the diesel repair in 7 years of their own fuel dock. These are notes from our kids, our Sea Scouts there at school, so I couldn't bring them. But one of them, Hugh, believes that the submerged water is the domain of Port of San Francisco, and that Port of San Francisco should be leaning in. We did go have a meeting with the Port of San Francisco Water Resilience Group, and they said yes, that some of that area is, but that they just defer to letting SF Rec and Park run it. So SF Rec and Park is not telling the truth with how the dredging doesn't have to happen in the fuel dock channel area. It can stay there, and the Water Board confirms that. This is a large meeting that a lot of leaders, Sea Scout leaders, were at with the Water Board, and the Water Board responded with information in response about not needing to take the fuel dock out. Also in 2022, there was a deep research done by PG&E given to the Water Board, and of that 900 pages, there's only one page of the actual dredging that's going to happen from PG&E. So there's a lot of things that SF Rec and Parks says that isn't actually true. It says that that report says there has to be dredging there, but it doesn't. And I'd like to have you do research, and especially speaking up for emergency response for our kids. We need these people to come for us if we need them. And all over the bay, we need to do work on the bay. Lynn Marine gets their fuel there, all the emergency response. This is the kids put together a list of every emergency response group using that fuel dock over there. It's also that fuel dock has the diesel and gas tanks are deep within the ground under two feet of concrete, and it's in bedrock. So part of the reason the port can't build submerged tanks is because it's all in landfill. So this has been built in the 1960s by the state of California as an emergency response extraction site, and it should maintain there. Also, our kids will never swim there because there's a marina to the forward of it, and they could get electric shock, or worse yet, there's a huge Laguna outfall that's right in that small lagoon producing 460 gallons of sewer water. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Captain Hellickman, for your testimony, and I'm going to ask that port staff continue conversations and follow up, and please brief the commission on the progress of those conversations. Is there anyone else in the room for public comment on items not listed on the agenda? Okay, seeing no one else in the room, is there any public comment on the phone for items not listed on the agenda?
There are no callers. Thank you.
Okay, public comment is closed. Next item, please.
Item 6A is the Executive Director's Report. For callers who wish to make public comment on this item, please dial *3 to raise your hand to comment.
Good afternoon, President Gilman, Vice President Engblom, commissioners, port staff, and members of the public. I'm Elaine Forbes, the Executive Director. August is Transgender History Month, a time to recognize and celebrate the contributions, resilience, and leadership of transgender people throughout history. In 2021, San Francisco became the first city in the nation to officially recognize this month, commemorating the 1966 Compton Cafeteria Riot in the Tenderloin. In August of that year, transgender women, many of them women of color and drag queens, stood up against police harassment in one of the earliest known large-scale acts of resistance by transgender and queer communities in the United States. This historic moment took place 3 years before Stonewall riots and helped lay a foundation for the modern LGBTQ plus rights movement. Today, the Port of San Francisco stands in solidarity with the transgender community. We honor our city's history as a place of courage, inclusion, and advocacy, and we recommit ourselves to celebrating the diversity that makes San Francisco so very strong. I'm going to move now to economic vibrancy, if I could go to the slide deck. First, a Fisherman's Wharf Forward update. Port staff continues to advance the work of Fisherman's Wharf Forward. Since the last commission meeting, staff collected feedback from the Fisherman's Wharf Advisory Committee and the Maritime Commerce Advisory Committee. We also held hybrid outreach meetings that were available in person at Pier 1 and online. Finally, we conducted an online survey during the month of July, and we are really grateful for the feedback we continue to receive. Port staff work on the design of the new plaza and other elements. We are hearing that stakeholders want us to consider many elements, including honoring the history of the wharf and preserving its rustic charm, enhancing the fishing harbor to support the fishers, public spaces that allow for flexibility and relaxation, activation and seating, attracting high quality food options and fixing the existing infrastructure, taking advantage of the views and proximity to the bay, and ensuring the area remains safe and clean. The next steps for this ambitious project are to finalize the design for the new public plaza, secure the necessary regulatory permits, and bring a construction team on board to meet our very tight construction window to be ready for summer next year. We will be coming to the commission next meeting, September, to provide an update on the interim plaza design, or our initial plaza design recommendation, and we will request authorization to advertise a construction contract. The port has maintained its high credit rating. Fitch reaffirmed our A rating with a stable outlook. This shows that we are in low risk of default on our debt and strong financial capacity to repay debt. Fitch cited low leverage, robust liquidity, and diverse revenue streams. This follows S&P's reaffirmation of our A rating with a stable outlook earlier this year. This means we get more favorable borrowing terms should we issue debt for port projects, and stronger investor appeal. Fitch also recognized our significant issues related to aging infrastructure, noting that it was the significant unfunded capital needs was the biggest drag on our rating and would keep us from an A+ in the near future. We acknowledge and have worked with the commission very diligently in addressing this unfunded backlog of capital, which is our biggest financial challenge. We are responding. Staff is updating the capital investment plan, the CIP, with more detailed asset condition data. We're analyzing future actions from the draft plan for the waterfront resilience work alongside potential income from our assets. We will be bringing the CIP to the commission early into 2026. I want to really congratulate the commission for guiding this cash-strapped enterprise into a strong financial position, and I want to really congratulate our finance team as well. And now to Cruise. This past year was nothing short of exceptional for Cruise at the port. We hosted 90 cruise calls, including a record-breaking 4 calls at Pier 80. We welcomed nearly 3,680 passengers, the second highest passenger volume in our history. We served 16 cruise lines with home port favorites Ruby Princess and the Carnival Legend, and we celebrated 3 maiden calls, the Carnival Legend, Norwegian Jade, and Via Ve Odyssey. This year also marked another major milestone, which many of the commissioners celebrated with us, which is the James R. Herman Cruise Terminal has turned 10 years old. And in this decade, we have served 3 million passengers. Congratulations, especially to Commissioner Willie Adams, who pushed for the investment in the cruise ship terminal. It has been very, very, very worthwhile. We continue to invest in our future. We're completing fender repairs this spring. We're upgrading the bollard system, and our terminal operator, Metro Cruise, has replaced gas-powered shoreside heavy lifts with 2 new electric heavy lifts. I really want to thank our labor partners at the ILWU for making this such a successful venture, Metro Cruises, the cruise line, and of course, port staff. Onward to the ferry building, which really is demonstrating economic recovery in action. We have new energy at the ferry building, which is showing dynamic and increased energy. On July 31st, I joined Mayor Daniel Lurie, District 3 Supervisor Danny Slaughter, and Hudson Pacific CEO Victor Coleman for a tour. We previewed 2 exciting additions to the former Slanted Door space, Parachute Bakery, and Arquette Restaurant. Arquette will feature wood-fired cooking with Northern California ingredients, both opening in the coming months, and I'll tell you from the tour, the space looks really great. We also celebrated the return of Red Bay Coffee, which is a beloved Black-owned business, with a ribbon-cutting ceremony, which you see on this slide. There are also other new arrivals, including Nash Bakes Cheesecake, which is already earning rave reviews. And Hudson is investing in the building with upgrades to interior lighting, which should be done by December of this year, exterior lighting on the Ferry Plaza as well, which will be done in 2026. And to the best news, record-breaking foot traffic in first quarter of 2025. Hudson says it's the best quarter they've ever had. And it's a 23% increase year to date. And this is building upon ongoing increases that we've seen from 2020. So it's really robust. There are upcoming events as well that will be hosted by the Ferry Building, including starting in September, Wednesday lunchtime music, and October 2nd, the Mushroom Festival Masquerade. So the Ferry Building really is a shining example of the economic recovery that we're driving here at the waterfront. Onward to equity. This summer, our staff led a series of volunteer efforts to beautify port parks along our waterfront, and the results are nothing short of inspiring. Over three events at Bayview Gateway Park, Rincon Park, and Crane Cove Park, staff brought together 60 community volunteers, including teams from local businesses, Trubeck, AECOM, Astronis, Jacobs, and Dog Patch Paddle. Together, they collected 500 pounds of debris and removed 8 truckloads of weeds, transforming our parks into cleaner, more vibrant spaces for everyone to enjoy. And clean and welcoming parks advance our equity goal, where we're strengthening the bonds between residents to their neighborhood parks and open spaces. This is community building in action and proof of what teamwork can achieve. And I have many thanks to the volunteers and port staff who made this happen. The next event is Friday, August 22nd. Mark your calendars. It's the park next to the ramp at Terry Francois Boulevard and Illinois Street in Mission Bay. To get involved, visit sfport.com/parks. And now to project updates. Amador Street construction work is officially underway on Amador Street project improvements. The contractor is now mobilized in the field. The project will deliver safe and reliable roadway infrastructure and upgraded utilities in the southern waterfront, serving our industrial tenants, including the many truckers who have small businesses and are from District 10. These truckers keep goods moving through our port. It also includes an upgraded pump station to reduce flood risks during major storm events, critical for resilience in the southern waterfront. During this construction, tenant access will be maintained at all times, while there will be some road closure. One lane of traffic in each direction will remain open. We're on track for completion summer next year. Oh, to resilience. We can take the slides off. The final report of the flood study and the draft report is still underway. The project team has prepared a draft final integrated feasibility report and environmental impact statement, which is undergoing multiple levels of review at the Army Corps of Engineers. This important final report is anticipated to be made public mid-2026. And I have a very exciting report. Luis Sperata earned a BCDC award on August 5th. Luis Sperata, who is a senior planner and urban designer on our port staff team, received the Bay Adapt Award from the Bay Area Conservation Development Commission. This award honors exemplary climate change leaders tackling critical challenges of sea level rise. Luis was chosen through a rigorous public nomination process and internal selection process. The ceremony will be held September 15th at the Exploratorium. Luis leads community engagement for the Port's Waterfront Resilience Program, and he's working with city agencies and community-based organizations to build climate resilience. A big congratulations to Luis. It's also a very proud moment for the Port. And now, onward to the Living Seawall pilot. There's a video that I get to show you so I can stop talking. But before we show the video, I really want to thank the port staff who made this happen. There was a lot of dedication to this project. From the maintenance division, it's Russ Hamilton, Mike Wetzel, Drew McEnwing, Larry Darnington, Ray Dunbar, and from the Waterfront Resilience Program, Kelly Capone was the lead. So let me play the video to show you the success we've had with this pilot.
Hello. So the idea behind the pilot project was to essentially determine whether you get a benefit to native species biodiversity if you add complexity to a seawall. So we were interested in seeing not only the effects of texture themselves, but does that vary with location around the city? For the detailed analyses we're doing now, we're removing things that are on the edges and the back so that we can just focus on what's on the front. On average, at each site, we've seen about 100 species. We've seen juvenile crab species, barnacles, we've seen native oysters, which we're always excited to see, several beautiful red seaweeds that we're seeing. And that's just based on our visual surveys. So we're expecting with the additional work that we're doing in the lab, we are going to actually add to that number of species. And the main idea behind all of this really is to inform the design of the new seawall.
We need to rebuild our seawall and our entire shoreline for sea level rise. This pilot is a very exciting and groundbreaking piece of work that we've been doing for the past 3 years, and it has been an extraordinary, extraordinary pilot. Already, we have seen that it is supporting our native species and inviting other habitat too. This is exactly the kind of thriving ecosystem that we've hoped to see on the seawall. What happens next is the seawall tiles will go over to Tiburon to the Smithsonian Center for further analysis, and then a report will be written. This will help us rebuild that seawall with incredible ecology and will also help other communities use the same knowledge and understanding to rebuild their shorelines.
Thank you. Thank you for putting that video together, the communications team. I think it really explains very clearly how important this work is. You know, Seattle, when they rebuilt their seawall, they were able to reinvigorate the salmon fishery, and it was one of the very important ecological improvements that came with that rebuild. So we're very excited about what we can accomplish here. Finally, I would like to share some good news on a promotion within that reflects the strength and depth of talent in our organization. I'm pleased to announce that Wendy Proctor has been appointed to as the port's new Deputy Director of Engineering. Since 2023, Wendy has served in the acting role, and I am very delighted she'll continue in the capacity permanently. Wendy joined the port in 2006. Over the past 19 years, she's built a remarkable career here, rising through the ranks as senior architect, ADA coordinator, and now deputy director. She brings really deep technical expertise as well as a very strong commitment to public service and a very collaborative leadership style. Her portfolio spans capital project execution, historic building rehabilitation, oversight of major partnerships and events like the Exploratorium and Ferry Building, America's Cup and Super Bowl, and a key role in our waterfront resilience program to safeguard the waterfront from earthquake and sea level rise. In her new role, she'll oversee project delivery, construction management and design, inspections, permitting, contracting, and code compliance functions essential to keep our waterfront safe, resilient, and vibrant. Please join me in congratulating Wendy on this well-earned promotion. Thank you. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Forbes, for your report. Is there any public comment in the room on the director's report? Is there any public comment on the phone on the director's report?
There are no callers. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, yes, please, come on up. Absolutely.
Again, I'm Captain Hallahan. I have been using, we used to call it Fish Alley, Fisherman's Wharf, when I grew up. And I've been using that water there for 50 years. It has definitely gotten cleaner in the last 20 years. We paddle outrigger canoe, row, and sail with our Sea Scouts in that cove sometimes when the weather's poor. And I just want to say that, you know, seeing the fishermen having for so many years to take diesel fuel over, they call it over water, actually, we were the first ones to report the oil spill several years ago, and we had no idea that it was going to take that long to get the diesel over water tanks repaired. So we just want to share with you that it's really vital to keep these questions going. And I noticed in her report she didn't really specifically talk about marine services, and it's really important as mariners. We have Commissioner Adams is a mariner, and he works with these people who risk their lives protecting us on the water. If there was a ferry or some or one of the big, you know, like something like 1971 when there was an oil crash, we need to keep these areas open. And that's where the San Francisco Maritime Police is actually at. And I think that they should be added in a report as well, because they're really important for our whole homeland security and bay. So thank you.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any other public comment in the room on the director's report? Is there any public comment on the phone for the director's report? Okay, public comment is closed on the director's report. Commissioner Lee.
Well, obviously good report as usual. Few questions. I see with the cruise ship terminal, there's a number of buses waiting for people to get off. Are those chartered tours already in advance, or are they bringing passengers to the boats? I mean, I don't know when that picture was taken, but I guess the point I'm trying to make is there some way we could infiltrate the cruise ship, and I think I brought this up before, to get them to go out and do, you know, I don't know where their scheduled tours are, but maybe, you know, drop them off in North Beach or drop them off in Chinatown, or I know they take them shopping in Union Square.
Thank you for your question, Commissioner. I'm asking our maritime director to come up and have a conversation with you on that question.
Because we're not, you know, they get to eat for free on the boat, so we're not getting the restaurant traffic, but it'd be nice to get the shopping traffic, and I'd like to know if they're really going out there.
No, good question. Andre Coleman, Deputy Director of Maritime. Good afternoon, Commissioners. So it's a combination. So it depends on the nature of the cruise turn, whether it's a home port ship where our itinerary originates here in San Francisco and then returns and terminates in San Francisco versus the transit calls that we see, which is probably what you're describing. And so those transit calls usually shore side excursions to points of interest in the city or in the region are prearranged by way of the maybe some travel agencies or tour services here in the region. So a lot of it is prearranged. However, we do have Big Bus, for example, or others that will are dialed in with the schedule and will offer their service or solicit their services while the cruise ship is in port.
I think I mean it's a heavy potential, especially we're doing so much that we need to take it to our advantage and try to spread the wealth to some of these small businesses. So that's a great thing. I was just curious when I saw the photo. So thank you for that. But maybe you can, we could call the SF Travel or whatever, and we can try to get into those cruise ship concierge and say, hey, look, we got these possibilities open.
So absolutely.
Look forward to that.
I'll be presenting a maritime portfolio update next month, and we'll provide you with some of the work we've been doing behind the scenes with SF Travel and others.
Great. Hey, I look forward to that one. And then with Hudson doing so much here in the ferry building, it shows that the Gen Z, as you say, they all want experiences. And we've been doing so much pop-ups, which is great, you know, with all the, open markets and them with all the diversity of restaurants here. Pier 39 has been doing it for years, so that part is taken care of. Now we got Central done. I'm hoping that we can start working on Pier 70 area to do more for the locals. So I think that's going to be great. So it just shows that the port, you know, as far as getting the energy back and getting San Francisco to start coming out again and spending money. Small businesses are still hurting, especially at nighttime. You know, they still feel a little shaky about working late. That's my biggest struggle, to get late night dining open again. But in the meantime, let's pump up those 550 tenants we have, which is great. And I really like the seawall experiment there because the kids, you know, for the education fact and also for our future is important. And I appreciate the Sea Scout comments, and I like to probably look at that data one day, but I was an Eagle Scout, so I had a choice. It would be a Sea Scout or an Eagle Scout, but there's no water in Vacaville. So I chose to be that. So anyway, I look forward to maybe taking a look at that data. So that's it for me. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Director.
Commissioner McNeely.
Sure, thank you. Great report, Director Forbes. Mostly comments. First, congratulations to Wendy Proctor on your elevation. And the work that's being done around Fisherman's Wharf has been fantastic. And when I think about our responsibility as custodians for the waterfront, for the citizens of San Francisco, the kind of outreach and that I've seen from staff to the community has been extremely important, and I hope we can continue that and develop a regular cadence. I really appreciated your takeaways around honoring the history and creating better public spaces for the city. We can continue that, and I think that that goes a long way of building the kind of community support that we're going to need for such a large project. The kudos on the ferry building and the energy that appears to be around that. Hopefully, that energy can spread throughout the waterfront as well. I'll pick up on what Commissioner Lee said about the seawall. What's really interesting around that to me is that you didn't. I mean, we could always build a seawall, but really thinking about repurposing it and what other kinds of opportunities might exist as we start to rethink and re-engineer that, something that makes it. More of a complement to the bio respect that we have for the bay, being able to include many of the ecosystems, and then also creating an opportunity for the public to kind of take part in that and to see something that's pretty magnificent. So I really appreciate the work that the staff's doing around that. And I can't end without also complimenting you on the strong financial capacity of the port, which is ultimately something that, you know, we're responsible for and the continuing to be good stewards of that. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, Director Forbes, stellar report. And also, I want to thank my Port Commission officers, Gail and Stephen, been doing an excellent job. Port staff, congratulations, Wendy. I really enjoyed what we were talking about as far as Fisherman's Wharf, the revitalization, the economic vibrancy. It's good to have gotten over the 3 million passenger mark. And I knew it would just take a little time, but this light that Mary Laurie is doing, and he just needed a little time, is being really contagious and what's happening. You can feel I just had lunch down in the stairs in the ferry building. You can feel the energy down there, more people, and you can even see it in the city. So clearly we're rowing in the right direction. And then, like I said, I wanted to thank Andre for making that, for explaining about what Stephen wanted to talk about as far as passengers coming off the ship and where's the revenue coming. I just got one thing I just personally want to say is that I was a little disappointed. I had my retirement parties July 20th up in Tacoma, and Director Forbes was invited, and no one from the Port of San Francisco was there, but I did get representation. Mario Cordero from the Port of Long Beach came. Steve Neal, one of the Port Commissioners. I was disappointed that Director Forbes or Mike Martin or Andre Coleman wasn't there. And I've seen other commissioners treated better, but there was no representation. And people said, where's the Port of San Francisco? Haven't you been a Port Commissioner there for 14 years? And I said, yeah, but I also realized other commissioners that I've been on this commission with have been treated with a lot more respect than others on this commission. So I just hope that in the future, everybody's treated the same. Thank you.
Vice President Emblem.
Director Forbes, thank you for a great report. And I just want to say I've been following the theme of the resilience and waterfront plan. That is something that San Francisco is definitely taking a leadership on, and it's been talked about in our industry for many years as a really innovative plan. And I, seeing the example of, the sort of micro example of the seawall tiles, those bio tiles, I guess what I want to say is that we're really fortunate to have such an incredible technical team that's been leading us through that. So, and it's great to see Wendy being awarded and Louise being recognized. Had a good fortune to work with Louise for a number of years. We're really lucky to have him on the team. And also the amount of public support that's been coming through in a lot of projects. I think the fact that we're really being careful and thoughtful about that really bodes well for us. The one thing in the report that did catch my attention, and it kind of underscores something we've been talking about, is, I just think while we can't rest on our laurels, while we're really lucky to be riding a good wave of economic recovery, the fact that, the A rating instead of a triple A rating, like, how can we double down on that? And I'm really glad that you mentioned that you're really focusing on the capital improvement program with the plans, with the team, because I think just like we're taking a leadership role and collaboration and public outreach leadership, we have to take that same kind of innovative approach to how can we do better in the financial world, because that drag, it could really mean the difference, when you really play it out in a big project like that, that seriously will take us a decade to, 20-year project, we could accelerate that project if we had some really meaningful, transformative financial ideas to help us with our, get from that A rating. So anyway, that's just a reminder for all of us that, we're doing great, but we need to dig deeper in that financial innovation world and try and find some people that maybe aren't in the tent with us right now to help us figure that out.
Thank you. Director Forbes, great report. I'm not going to reiterate the comments from any of my commissioners. I want to, again, commend Luis on his recognition for your incredible work, and Wendy on your promotion. Congratulations. We're only as the port is only as strong as the folks who are part of our team and making things happen every day. So I really want to commend the staff for their incredible work. And as we know, we continue to move forward. We have our cruise ships happening. We have what's phenomenal work happening here at the ferry building. We have Fisherman's Wharf forward. So this is our time to shine as we do this great work. And again, I really just want to reiterate about the living seawall. It is a great way for us to understand how to do our seawall well and right. And also, it's been happening all around us. Well, north of the Hyde Street Pier is not our jurisdiction. It's federal. The National Oyster Project does have a living seawall out there of oyster shells. It was last Tuesday. It was National Oyster Day. And so many restaurants in San Francisco donate their shells, actually, to that project. So I just think it's really wonderful. We're building on the strong ecology of San Francisco and the waterfront. So on that note, Director Forbes, did you want to say something? No. On that note, Jenica, next item, please.
Next item is item 7, the consent calendar. For callers who wish to make public comment on the consent calendar, please dial *3 to raise your hand to comment. 7A requests approval of the First Amendment of and fee waiver for license number 17173 with Pacific Cruise Ship Terminals, LLC, for the periodic use of approximately 20,000 square feet of Pier 19 shed for terminal worker parking during cruise calls at Pier 27 with a remaining term of 9 months. That is Resolution 2541. Item 7B requests approval of the operations agreement, contract number OP-0012, with North Bay Distribution, Inc., granting authority to operate 3 locations at 2031 and 2050 Cessna Drive and 2131 Icon Way, each in Vacaville, California, as a foreign trade zone number 3 usage-driven site for a term of 5 years, with one option to extend for 4 years, and outlining conditions for the operation of the usage-driven site. This is Resolution 2542. Item 7C requests authorization to award 4 contracts to 1. Arcadis Lotus Water Joint Venture, 2. Cowie RJSD Joint Venture, 3. GHD Structis Joint Venture, and 4. Moffitt and Nickel AGS On-Call Joint Venture for as-needed engineering and related services, each contract in an amount not to exceed $5 million, and to create a pre-qualified pool. This is Resolution 2543, 2544, 2545, 2546, and 2547. Item 7D requests authorization to advertise for competitive bids for construction contract number 2882, Pier 9 roof and roof deck repairs, and Pier 33 bulkhead roof and structural repairs. This is Resolution 2548. Item 7E requests approval of an 18-month renewal with one 18-month extension option of Skystar Wheel LLC, lease at Seawall Lot 301, proposed lease number L-17322, including a resolution recommending the Board of Supervisors waive any applicable requirements of the competitive bidding process with respect to this renewal. This is Resolution 2549. And regarding item 7F, staff requests to continue this item to the September 9th Commission meeting. So for the last consent item, item 7G, it is to request authorization to execute a project supplemental agreement and a grant agreement with Caltrans for the previously approved Port of San Francisco, San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency parking management pilot. This is Resolution 2551.
So, Commissioners, there's a request from staff that we continue item 7F to the September 9th meeting, and that we have a motion so I need a motion to continue 7F, and I need a motion to approve the consent calendars, item 7A to 7E and 7G. So can I have that motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Now, on our complicated consent agenda, is there any public comment in the room on the consent agenda? Seeing no... Oh, on the consent agenda?
Excuse me.
Come on, come on.
Although, could you remind me the letter as it pertains to Pier 9?
It's D.
D?
D.
D. This is Pier 9 roofing and decking repairs.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Hello.
Yes.
Hello, commissioners. My name is Piercy Bastiani with the San Francisco Bayview National Black Newspaper. And I would like to submit to your commission the August issue of our paper, where I got my first publication written as a grad student at USF, a first publication, titled Rotting from the Coast Inward, Sea Scouts Displaced, Waterfront in Decline. And I personally did the research on this issue to target Pier 9, Pier 48, Pier 49, the Sea Scout Base, and the Hunters Point Shipyard, where there is evidence of ecological disaster looming, where the wooden pilings underneath all of these piers are literally rotting away, whole chunks are missing, or completely damaged to where they're structurally unsound. And you can just go and see yourself. I got some picture evidence of each of it. The Sea Scouts were gracious enough to send some of their information. I'm sure they were already able to update you. Now, part of your duties as the commission, I understand, in the Port of San Francisco is to make sure the maintenance of our waterfront infrastructure, and part of that comes from revenues generated from the port operations, which it doesn't take too much to see the empty port cranes we have out here. We're not getting enough revenue in the port. Why? It's because Port of Oakland's taken it completely over and robbed us of our ability to operate and pay for the repairs of our waterfront. And so I would encourage the commission to examine new revenue structures of reopening our port infrastructure in Hunters Point Shipyard, do the remediation work necessary with the community, so that way we can hire some construction cranes to bring in these Panamax ships, unload them, and truck them back to Oakland, since we no longer have a railroad beltway to do the work ourselves. We get a premium from these companies if they can export their product faster and not incur demurrage fees, higher insurance rates. Their crews are literally waiting around here in the bay, waiting for the Port of Oakland. Meanwhile, the Hunters Point Shipyard's been vacant for 30 years, and it used to be the reason why everybody came to San Francisco. We were the port. This is the Port of San Francisco. And just look through this. It's a disgrace to see the condition. And, you know, you guys are all touting yourselves, pat on the back, but if you just look at the wood is deteriorating before our eyes. And what I would hate to see is what happened to the Santa Cruz Pier earlier this year, just washed away with people on it, happened to us. And this first came to my attention because I just happened to go to the Klamath for a climate action event for California and Africa. And I'm walking down the gangplank of the Klamath at low tide, and I said, oh my God. Pilings are missing. There's whole chunks missing. Somebody's got to talk about this. I went to the June meeting. Nobody's talking about it. I went to the July meeting here. Nobody's talking about it. I come here, and I got to go to work and literally squeeze in 30 minutes to talk to you guys about what's literally crumbling beneath our feet. So I've been the rest of my time, and I hope that we can work together. I did submit like 3 or 4 proposals to the clerk over this last 2 months to work with you guys. Please read my proposals. I got no follow-up from you, and I would be more than happy to work with you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, very much. We hear you. I am going to ask staff to reach out and have conversations, again, with the Sea Scouts and with this individual about his concerns. I'm also going to ask under new business, now that we place an item, that we get a briefing on pier infrastructure and informational. Just what?
The CIP that's coming that yes. We're working on now?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That be included in that?
Absolutely. And I do just want to say we do have rapid structural assessments. We do inspections and engineering work. We are aware of the substructure conditions. That is something that we are also very concerned about. That is part of our capital backlog that we're trying to address, but that we do, and Wendy, we will include a report from the engineering team on sort of our green tag, yellow tag, red tag part of our facilities that we're keeping up to date. So you will see that, commissioners, as well as the public. Yes.
So thank you, and we hear you, sir. Okay. Is there any other public comment in the room on the consent calendar? And hopefully when we put this out for bid, we get lots of folks who bid on it and we get some work done. Is there any public comment on the phone on the consent calendar?
No callers on the phone. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioners, we have a motion. We've had public comment. All in favor to approve the consent calendar?
Aye.
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 Okay. Motion carries. Next item, please.
Item 8.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm so sorry because I got so wrapped up in this public comment. I apologize. So resolutions 2541, 2542, 2543, 2544, 2545, 2546, 2547, 2548, 2549, and 2551 are approved. Apologies. Now, next item, please, Jenica.
Thank you. Item 8A requests a waiver of 1, Port of San Francisco salmon vessel berth rents for a period of 6 months, and 2, Port of San Francisco seafood processors rent for a period of 3 months in light of economic disruption caused by closure of the 2025 commercial salmon season. This is resolution 2552. For callers who wish to make public comment on this item, please dial *3 to raise your hand to comment.
Thank you, Jenica. Good afternoon, President Gilman, Vice President Engblom, Commissioners, Director Forbes. My name is Dominic Moreno. I'm the Assistant Deputy Director of Maritime for the Port. I'm here today to request waiver of 1 Port of San Francisco salmon vessel berth rents for a period of 6 months, and 2 Port of San Francisco seafood processors rent for a period of 3 months in light of economic disruption caused by the closure of the 2025 salmon season. The commercial salmon vessel and processor relief plan supports 2 key goals of the port strategic plan. One, evolution, evolve the waterfront and waterfront management practices to respond to changing public and port needs by supporting legacy Port of San Francisco industries such as commercial fishing as needs change due to economic and environmental conditions. And two, productivity, attract and retain tenants to build an economically successful and vibrant waterfront in, and in doing so preserve and enhance commercial fishing at Fisherman's Wharf and at Hyde Street Harbor. Commercial fishing is one of the port's and city's most important maritime industries. Its origin predates the port, and commercial fishing continues today despite both environmental and industry challenges. The industry employs a wide range of San Franciscans and Bay Area residents and has historically generated strong revenues to the port through its chain of economics. The local salmon season has been severely compromised in recent years due to environmental challenges, such as the increased presence of whales along the Pacific coast, impacts of drought, and the lingering economic impacts of the 2019 coronavirus pandemic. The commercial fishing industry has faced numerous challenges ranging from overfishing, commercial development, ocean pollution, non-native species, and other environmental challenges over many decades. Despite these challenges, Pier 45 and Hyde Street Harbor, Fisherman's Wharf, remain one of the West Coast's major commercial fishing centers, and much has been done to keep the fish in Fisherman's Wharf. Major port initiatives include the 1995 rebuilding of the earthquake-damaged Pier 45, the 2001 construction of the $21 million Hyde Street Harbor, commercial fishing harbor, excuse me, the 2012 construction of a new $2 million Harbor Master's Office, the 2016 Crab Industry Relief Program, and most recently, the 2024 Crab and Salmon Processor Relief Plan. Ongoing projects that support the commercial fishing industry include the newly installed J9 Float Project and a fully funded capital project to install a new ice machine at Pier 45. Over the past 3 years, San Francisco's most important seafood seasons, Dungeness crab and Chinook salmon, have either been delayed in opening, shortened, or canceled ahead of the season. For the local commercial salmon population, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife has determined that fishery and salmon population to be well below historic averages, which resulted in the cancellation of the last two commercial salmon seasons and now a third. In 2022, CDFW, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, reported 2 million pounds of fish with a gross value of $10.2 million were landed at the Port of San Francisco, with only $2.7 million of that, or 386,000 pounds, provided by salmon. This is a significant reduction from years past and a disturbing trend. The main legacy fishing seasons in San Francisco are salmon, April through fall, crab, November to spring, and herring, December to February. The 2022 reporting period was the last full year for the salmon season. Following 2022, the local San Francisco commercial fishing fleet has suffered a triple hit as years of drought conditions have severely impacted the salmon run, resulting in the cancellation of 2023, 2024, and now 2025's commercial salmon seasons. As a result of the closed seasons, many of the port's commercial salmon boat owners have been pushed to the brink of economic collapse. Port staff have engaged members of the San Francisco commercial fishing industry to assess the economic impacts of the closed season. The majority of fishing fleet and associated industries are small businesses, and the economic impacts have been dramatic. Much of the salmon fishing industry earned the majority of their annual revenue in a condensed period, depending heavily on the health and quantity of the local fishery. The proposed commercial salmon vessel and processor relief plan will offer berth rent relief for a 6-month period and seafood processor rent relief for a 3-month period. Port staff recommends a 6-month waiver of berth rent for permanent San Francisco salmon fishing vessels who hold a valid state fish and wildlife license to participate in the commercial fishery. Port staff estimates that this rental relief would be available to approximately 36 Port of San Francisco fishers, and the 6-month revenue loss to the port would be approximately $41,392.26. Port staff also recommends a 3-month reduction of lease rent for permanent San Francisco salmon receivers who hold valid state fish and wildlife landings, either directly or through an agent, of salmon from salmon boats at their Port of San Francisco facilities. Port staff estimates this rental relief would be available to approximately 17 of San Francisco receivers, and the three-month revenue loss to the port would be approximately $554,935. The port's proposed commercial salmon vessel and processor relief plan will result in a revenue impact approximately $596,327.26 to the port. The proposed commercial salmon vessel relief plan would throw a critical lifeline to the many small business fishing industry men and women during a period of unprecedented financial impacts, provide tangible relief to help sustain this vital historic industry in San Francisco, and demonstrate the port's ongoing commitment to our commercial fishing community. Staff recommends that the Port Commission support the commercial salmon vessel and processor relief plan, approve the attached resolution, and authorize the executive director to provide waiver of rents as described above. I'm joined by Andre Coleman, Maritime Director, and Gabe Miklich, High Street Harbor Master. We are available for your questions, and thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Dominic, for the presentation. Commissioners, do I have a motion so we can move this item?
So move. Second.
Thank you. Is there any public comment in the room on this item? Is there any public comment on the phone for this item?
We have no callers on the line. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So public comment on this item is closed. We're going to transition to discussion. Commissioner Healy.
Yes, thank you very much for that discussion. Madam President, I will vote in support of the motion, but I would like to raise some concerns that I have. I mean, I completely support the short-term solution, basically to account for the economic disruption. My concern is whether or not we are in an era of the new normal, as we think about global warming, as we think about the kinds of disruptions that we're likely to see. My understanding is this, we're maybe in 2 or 3 years into some type of waiver. And my question becomes, yes, a critical lifeline is important. Commercial fishing, of course, is extremely important to our past and our future. Whether or not at some point we consider a longer term solution to this problem rather than each year looking at it, since it's likely to repeat and be recurring.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Commissioner Lee.
Well, of course, I'm going to support the fishermen and their small business endeavors. And like was mentioned, they just keep, canceling the season, and global warming isn't going away. And I keep asking whether if the fishermen can all get together and go to Sacramento and ask if their season's going to be adjusted according to how the whales obviously just do what they want. But we're stuck with these old, and this is for a lot of policies that are made on SFMTA and fire department, as a lot of these resolutions were done so long ago that times have changed. And even we can give them temporary relief, but they have to somehow go to Sacramento and ask the Wild Protection Agency if they can, maybe move their season up a little bit, to adjust to this problem, because even if we give them temporary relief, there's no guarantee that it won't be canceled again. So I'm just worried about the industry a lot. So I mean, I'm going to support it, of course, but I think somehow the fishermen should get together. I mean, they do a great job lobbying us all the time, but it's time to go to Sacramento, boys. Let's tell those guys that we can change it 1 month even. Your crab season can change a lot. So that's my only comment, but I support it. Of course, I'm going to support the fishermen.
Thank you, Commissioner Lee. Commissioner Adams.
I think Commissioner McNeely hit the head on the nail. I think we're going to have a painful discussion about this. Where does their future lie, even when we were talking about the development?
they're afraid of their extinction. And I think, Commissioner McNeely, I don't know if we put a task force together, but it's got to be some painful discussions. It's going to have to really be some painful discussions. What they remember from the past is kind of in the past, and what is their new world going to look like, and what is their reality going to look like, and this is a Band-Aid that we're actually doing. And I support it. I get me wrong. But we have to really set them down and have a conversation, and I don't know if a couple of the commissioners have to be involved and board staff, and we need to really talk to them and how they see it. And all sides has got to have a reality grip and have that conversation. So I'd be supportive. I know President Gale, and I know Stephen's really been involved with them, Stephen Lee. But but he's right. We got to have a conversation. Thanks.
Vice President.
Thank you for the report. Yeah, I just build on my fellow commissioners' comments. This is a tough challenge. I support the short-term motion, but I wonder, it's just like everything else. Like, we're taking a leadership on sea level rise. What the scale and size of fishing for our city, for our state, is enormous. So this is a small gesture to get through the short term together. But how do we, as the port, take a leadership role in helping? This is important to our mission. It's important to the fishing industry. But we're not the only port where they're landing. Also, it's like a statewide issue. It's a regional issue. Just here, we're not even in our region. There's other. What are other landing sites doing in this issue? And we are San Francisco, so we should take a leadership role in this conversation, or at least offer to, and see if there's some way that our incredible team can help maybe bring some resources to the table that maybe combined together we can, we work collectively with our fellow ports and see what's possible. Thank you.
Again, Dominic, thank you so much for this report. Commission is supportive of the item, and we're going to vote for a minute. But I just want to make three comments, particularly building off of Commissioner Adams' comments. I actually do think we need to reach out to our fellow ports. Particularly thinking of Monterey, which has been mentioned before, and ports. And I think we need to see if you're already part of some sort of conversation, regional or statewide conversation on the issue. I know there's an association in Sacramento. It's been mentioned by the fishers before, and I know there is a statewide council that many of them sit on, but I think we need to have a hard conversation. And I think it has to include the processors. We hear a lot from the fishermen who come here, but when you look at this relief package, it's only 36 vessels, and their relief was pretty small. The major relief we're giving is to the processors who really have not been at the table or have not come here to commission. So I really want to be able to involve them, and I'm happy to participate in those conversations. And if there's not traction among our other ports on this because they have, I don't know, and I'm just making this up right now, I know only enough to be dangerous, because they have sardines in Monterey, they're not as concerned, then we need to take this on for ourselves, because I do think times are changing. We can't continue at this pace. We're not the East Coast. We're not going to be the scallop capital of the world as they are in Massachusetts. Our waters are different, and climate change isn't going to change. I do think we need to be a little more proactive. And then I also just think for the public, because we had that last public comment on the consent agenda, I think the public needs to understand we are an enterprise department, and I think this has been like my soapbox since I've become president. We don't really get any of your taxpayer money. So when we do this relief to say something so vital for us, it might seem like a small amount on our overall budget. But this relief of close to $600,000 is $600,000 that isn't going somewhere else, that isn't going to our capital plan, which isn't going to the pylons at Pier 9. So everything is a trade-off that we do every day for the public good. And I say this more on the dais for the public record, that we just can't go with our hand to City Hall. But when you hear of the mayor's budget, You know, that is a general fund department budget, and we are not a general fund department. And I just think it's really important for the public to understand that. So on that note, commissioners, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, resolution 2552 is adopted. Jenica, next item, please.
Item 9A is an informational presentation to consider and possible action to approve a 12-month extension of the lease disposition and development agreement with TZK Broadway LLC, a California limited liability company, TZK, for the proposed hotel development, the development, at Siwa Lots 323-324 and portions of unimproved Vallejo and Davis Street right-of-ways on the west side of the Embarcadero at Vallejo. This is resolution 2553. For callers who wish to make public comment on this item, please dial star 3 to raise your hand to comment.
Good afternoon, President Gilman, commissioners, and Port Executive Director Elaine Forbes. My name is Ricky Tijani. I'm a waterfront development project manager with the Real Estate and Development Division of the Port. I'm glad to be making this presentation to you today in response to the request from TZK to get an amendment to extend their LDDA term. At the executive level, the request is just for 12 months extension. The development that this concerns is the development at the corner of Broadway and Embarcadero. It includes a 161-room luxury hotel. Initially, when we come back here, we've been looking at 192, but now it's been reduced to 161 luxury in terms of what the market can support. And equally include a space for Teatro Zinzani that we're calling the dinner theater space, and also a 14,000 square foot public space. The development costs have gone up. It's now 169. Before, it was roughly $142 million. As a quick background on this development, the LDDA was approved by you back in 2019. At that time, we were expecting that it would take roughly 2 years to close escrow. However, COVID-19 hit and create a delay in finding financing. And TZK has been struggling since then to find the financing. And of course, we know why financing is not available, because the demand is not there, the close down due to the COVID-19, tourism, an office worker, and so forth and so on. But we're recovering now. So because of that, we have to extend the LDDA term to give them more time to perform. Last year, we gave them the second amendment to the LDDA that gave them to September this year to complete negotiations of the revisions to the lease term and close escrow. But however, they need additional time because it's taking the lenders that are coming in are asking a series of questions that TZK has to respond to, and this is taking quite some time. As a result, even though now this is August, it has three more months left before September, but it's anticipating that it's going to need more time. Because we've not come to you to get approval for the proposed revisions to the lease term. We still need to go to the Board of Supervisors. As a result, TZK is being proactive by saying, let me ask for an extension now to get this done. This is the current status of the project. Top of this deck kind of like lay out where we are. We currently have an extension that will take us to the extension from September last year that's taking us to where we are. The key tasks that TZK need to complete to continue to move the development forward is laid out here. We complete negotiation of the proposed lease terms, obtain your approval, go to the Board of Supervisors, and hopefully get the financing and close and put building permit and close escrow. The key terms of this third amendment is, again, 12-month extension. Because TZK is very hopeful, they've already have some lenders that provided conditional commitment, and with the approval that we are expecting for the proposed lease term, is expecting that they may be able to close escrow sooner rather than use the entire 12 months that is requesting now. As a result, he wanted to be able to pay on an incremental basis, get 3 month extension, and pay $25,000 for each extension. 4 extension would get us back to that $100,000 extension fee. So, but we are recommending that we accommodate him. Also, as part of this term is the extension of the deferral that we provided before, $400,000 in accrued transaction cost, including building permit fee that is yet to pay and other costs of our consultant. All that combined is what amount to this $411,000 that he will pay when he closes escrow. And this amount is secured by a promissory note and is carrying a simple interest rate of 3%. Part of this third amendment will be updating the schedule of performance, because currently we're expecting them to close escrow by September this year. We're going to be changing that to accommodate this extension. So it will be September of next year or when he's able to close. Again, this is the key deal why this project is taking longer, getting the financing. This is a complete picture of the current updated capital stack. That debt piece, that $55 million, is what is really, really the key here, because all the lenders are looking at San Francisco, they're looking at the market, they're asking very tough questions, and that is why they're saying, look, the existing lease term need to be reversed. Because when we enter into, when we structured this lease back in 2019, the world was totally different. The economic condition is different. Now, this is where we are. So the lender is saying, no, we need to go back and change some of this stuff in order for us to be able to accommodate you. So generally, this is the current capital stack. For the benefit of the new commissioner, this is the location of the site. It's at the corner of Broadway and Embarcadero, almost across from Pier 9. And this is an area view of the site. Currently, the site is being used for surface parking, which is not its highest and best use. So in terms of the next steps and timeline, we will be concluding negotiations over the proposed revisions to the lease terms, and then secure approval, and TZK will find financing, and hopefully we'll start construction thereafter. Here are some diagram and pictures of the site. It's a triangular site, and this is the site layout. The park is to the left, and here are the elevations of the proposed hotel building. It's a four-story building. And here is another view or rendering of the building at night. And here is a view of the park, and showing that gazebo, and where Teatro Zinzani may have a spill out of their activities to use the park. And here is another area view of the proposed development. And that concludes staff presentation. We're recommending your approval of the proposed resolution that comes with this staff report. Thank you.
Thank you, Ricky. Commissioners, do we have a motion to make this an action item?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. So now I'm going to open it up for public comment since we have a motion on this item. Is there any public comment in this on the room on item 9A? Is there anyone who'd like to make public comment? I see the developer in the room. Jay, would you like to make a comment?
Good afternoon, Madam President, Commissioners. My name is Jay Wallace. I'm here on behalf of TZK Broadway LLC, we're seeking your approval of the 12-month extension. We've been at it for a long time. We've been at it so long that I think, Commissioner Adams, you're the original. And we're pleased that you're still here and in support of our project. And to the new commissioners who haven't seen us before, welcome. We're looking forward to working with you as well, to say nothing of our esteemed Stephen Lee and President Gilman. The project's going along well. We work closely with Ricky and Scott on a regular basis. Financing has been a challenge. There's no doubt about it. It's we face the problem every day of the investment community across the globe says, I can buy a foreclosed Four Seasons, you know, on Market Street for $500,000 a room to build a new hotel in San Francisco, all union, built all union, operated all union, is substantially more than that. But we have the best location in the world. We're proud to be your partner. The staff has done a great job. We intend to complete the project this year and move forward as expeditiously as possible. So with your support, we will continue to work hard, and we will bring the wonderful new hotel to the corner of Broadway and the Embarcadero with a new home for Teatro Zanzani and a new public park. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment in the room? I see none. Jenica, is there anyone on the phone?
We have no callers on the line.
Okay. Public comment is closed. Commissioners, any conversation? Commissioner Lee?
Jay, can you come back for a second? So, yeah, you look tired.
I've gotten old. I just one little quick story. I do some project at the Treasure Island as well. I made a presentation there, and the president of the commission said, "It's been so long, you lost your hair." So if I look, I know it's pretty. You can laugh at me, but yeah, I look tired. You're right. Keep going, Commissioner.
So you know, we have this problem with Pier 3032. Obviously, you know what's going on there, and you know, this thing's been going on. I mean, when I was on the Entertainment Commission, I was ready to give you your permit for that, right. But we're still here, and we're still waiting for that great theater. I like how it's been reduced, so you can, you know, with the times. But are you that close right now? If we give you this extension, are we ready to close the deal?
We certainly think so. I mean, I can't speak for the lending community, but we talk to them every day. We have secured most of the financing that Ricky put up on the capital stack, and we are seeking the last little bit to close the financing. Once that happens and we document the transaction, we'll be ready to pull a building. We have some modifications that we have to go back to for the building permit issuance, but the modifications are reduction in size, not expansion, so they should be relatively simple. We're going from, as Ricky said, 194 rooms. It's actually 164 rooms now, not 161. We found a little extra space to enhance the size. But yes, we hope that we will be able to secure the financing in the next few months, finalize that, document that, and move forward.
I think I've heard that maybe interest rates might be coming down this fall. Will that help you too?
That certainly will help, for sure. I think the biggest challenge we face, as I said earlier, is the fact that there's a number of foreclosed hotels in San Francisco, and that's a challenge. But as the market cleans itself up, we know that we have the best location with the best partner, the Port of San Francisco, and we will continue to move it forward and succeed.
Yeah, I would definitely hold on to that by your pinky if you have to, because it is a great location. So
fabulous.
I mean, I hate to have you lose it after all these years. So,
thank
you. So I'm in support of giving you an extension.
Thank you.
Commissioner McNeely.
Yes, Jay, I had a couple of questions as well. And I agree with Commissioner Lee. I think it sounds like a wonderful project. I'm getting educated on it. It sounds like a great project, great location, and could be a great catalyst for what we'd like to see in revitalizing this part of the Embarcadero. My question is, with this extension, what's your level of confidence that the financing will take place? And I don't quite understand the hesitation of the lenders at this point. It sounds like you've had to, and again, I'm coming on to this new, but it sounds like you've had to rescale your project in a way that made your creditors more comfortable. And is that the lingering item that kind of is allowing you to kind of figure that out and then go forward with your lenders?
I'd say it's that and it maybe sound crass, but I don't, you know, I'll say it anyway. You know, the markets don't just care about great location. What we face in the marketplace is it's on a ground lease, so that takes a whole host of a whole group of lenders off the table. They won't touch a ground lease. It's an all-union project, start to finish, every day, and we turn on the lights, it's a union project. That takes a whole group of lenders out of the picture. It's we're using C-PACE financing, which is a tradition. It's a well-known and well-respected form of financing. It's cheaper debt than most debt today. It's how this building was actually built, with C-PACE financing. But there's a group of lenders that don't want to participate in C-PACE. So 100 lenders in America are doing hotel investment. You shrink it by a third, a third, a third. We really get a chance to talk to 10 or 12, you know, 10 or 20 lenders. And they're warming up to San Francisco. COVID shut things down completely. The hospitality industry was crushed in this city. We then went through people sleeping on the streets and the homeless encampments. People didn't want to do business in San Francisco. Mayor Lurie has brought a great fresh breath of fresh air, and we are seeing a lot more interest, and we are very confident that we will get the financing done, so confident that we continue to spend our money, our private equity, our personal money on the project, and that will not cease.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams.
Jay, you know I support this. I've been on commission so long, and I know Director Forrest will agree. We have seen so many of these projects, even with the development of the housing and the Pier 3032. People keep coming back, right, Scott? The Giants. This thing is always moving back and forth. And you're doing two projects. You're doing this in Treasure Island, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's difficult. I believe you're going to get there. We're living in with the markets, and everything is kind of volatile. And I don't think a year is unreasonable to something that I think this city and its rebirth will re-enjoy. I think we're going to enjoy this when it does happen. And I think this commission and the poor staff and our executive director will all look back at this and realize this was just a part of the process of growing through this. This is difficult. So I support it. And I can only imagine the frustration you have. I mean, a lot of crazy things are happening. We could wake up one day this week and San Francisco could be like D.C. I mean, you just never know from day to day what's happening in this crazy country. Never say never. But anyway, you have my support.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Vice President Emblem.
Jay, I really appreciate you taking time to explain some of the your thoughts about this. I guess my only thought is, you know, And I support this because the team has worked with you closely, and they're coming back. You're coming back and asking for a year. You know, a year ago we asked for a year. I'm just wondering, are we asking for enough time? Is that enough flexibility? I trust the team that this is the right request, and it sounds like, you know, with it's all timing. So I hope that because the cost escalation statistic that was. That was mentioned is really, you know, obviously a big concern to you and to the project. So I guess you're asking for a year, so I support that. And I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts and keeping your expertise involved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jay, and thank you for sticking with it. I remember when this first was a concept as a North Beach resident and all of the community outreach you did way before I was on this commission, actually, and all of the community support for this to be a sole source to you and your team for your commitment to Zinzani, which was moved because of the port and because of us for America's Cup. And this all predates me sitting here on this chair. But I'm really excited that you guys are finally moving forward, and I will just say I really hope you get the financing nailed down, you get moving, because with tariffs and everything, I would hate to see your construction costs escalate anymore. So thank you so much, and Ricky and Scott and the team, thank you for working so diligently with this partnership. Commissioners, we have a motion on the table. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, this unanimously passes. Resolution 2553 is adopted. Jenica, next item, please.
Next item is item 10A, request authorization to amend the Harbor Traffic Code to establish parking restrictions for large vehicles on port property to align with recent amendments to city administrative and transportation codes. This is resolution 2554. For callers who wish to make public comment on this item, please dial *3 to raise your hand to comment.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Mike Martin, Assistant Port Director and Chief Operating Officer, here today to give you kind of a brief verbal presentation of the context of the amendments to the Harbor Traffic Code that are before you. So as you can see, it's a fairly targeted amendment to the Harbor Traffic Code relating to the parking of large and oversized vehicles. This is meant to harmonize our Port Street regulations with those that are now in that will be in effect in the rest of the city after actions taken by the Board of Supervisors and the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency Board of Directors. These restrictions are crucially paired with an intent and resourcing of the city to engage in a lot of outreach with recreational vehicle occupants, and particularly those using recreational vehicles as homes on different city streets. The goal here is to try to sort of address that issue by engaging with these individuals and families living in the RVs to see if they will be able to get into city-operated or city-made available temporary shelter and permanent housing. And the idea is that there would be a large vehicle refuge permit program under which the occupants of the RVs, as long as they're working through that process and agreeing to abide by certain good neighbor provisions, would receive a permit to be able to continue parking on city streets, with the hope for outcome being eventually they obtain that shelter or housing. And then at that time, the city could buy back the recreational vehicles so they wouldn't continue to be used as housing on the streets. Port staff has been engaging with the various city agencies as well as MTA and the mayor's office about the overall program as well as the parking restrictions themselves. And if you adopt these amendments, we'd continue to engage with SFMTA to ensure enforcement, because that really is the foundation of our recommendation that you pass this. Is ultimately what we're going for is one set of rules that would be enforced throughout the city, including Port Streets, because if you didn't adopt this item that's before you, create a situation with a different set of restrictions on port property that could potentially incentivize large recreational vehicles or other vehicles without parking permits to come to port property to evade enforcement. And that's obviously an outcome that would disrupt the businesses of our tenants as well as our own operations. And so we're hopeful that you will adopt the resolution before you today. So that is the context, and I'm happy to answer any questions about the port's involvement with this effort. We're also joined in the audience today by Yufern Pan, the Assistant Chief in the Mayor's Office for Health, Homelessness, and Family Services, who can answer any questions you have, if you have any, about the broader program. But we look forward to your questions and feedback. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, is there a motion to move this item?
So moved.
Okay. Yeah.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there any public comment in the room on item 10A? Is there anyone on the phone, Jenica?
There are no callers on the phone.
Okay, then I'm closing public comment on this item. Commissioner Lee.
I mean, of course, we have to support this ordinance because as they are moving throughout the city, they're going to be moving to different locations, the ones that don't want to participate. So they're going to find whatever space they can, and I'm sure it's going to be coming down here. My only concern is, I mean, definitely support as long as they want to move into the next housing or whatever we can provide them. What I don't like is all the clutter, you know, that comes with it. They start bringing all their bicycles and things like that. Is there a way that part of the permit say that they have to keep the area clean or uncluttered or where there's full of you know, accumulated trash and things? It's just so unsightly. And also it creates a kind of a hazard for other people.
Thank you for that question, Commissioner. I'll invite Ms. Penn to answer.
Good afternoon, Madam President and Commissioners. My name is Yufern Pan with the Mayor's Office. To answer your question, yes, as part of the refuge permit policy, permit holders will be required to sign and adhere to a good neighbor policy, which we'll be posting on the public website for all to understand and to be able to know of. And so that the good neighbor policy includes keeping the area around your vehicle clean, allowing DPW to clear debris if required, and not adhering to that policy will will be clause for revoking the permit.
And you will have kind of monthly inspections then to go out and take a look?
Typically, enforcement will come through a request from 311. It's usually complaint-based in terms of how the street teams are generally operationalized to be able to respond to requests across the city. And so this would come under the typical protocols for that.
So there's not really, even though they're giving them a permit to park there and live there, how do you monitor to be able to, if there's some available housing for them?
Yes.
How do you engage if you don't go out there?
Thank you for your question. So the permit, the purpose of the permit is to be able to temporarily stay in your vehicles while the city works with the permit holder to move them into housing. And so as part of that, permit holders will be provided case management services. And so they will be assigned a case manager who will be responsible for weekly check-ins with that permit holder, working with them towards finding appropriate housing for them to move into.
And so if they don't participate or suddenly change their mind, you can revoke their street permit. Then.
That is correct. That is also part of the permit conditions. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner McNeely?
Yeah, I had also a question about the vehicle refuge permit program, and that is, does that then require the vehicle to be located to an area where there is that a temporary space allowed for those vehicles for that 12-month period? Or let's say, for instance, a vehicle parks on the Embarcadero and requests the refuge permit program. Does that vehicle stay in front of the ferry building or close by the premise and proximity for 12 months as it works its way through the process?
Thank you for your question. So to clarify, the refuge permit will only exempt a vehicle from the new two-hour parking limit. It does not exempt them for any existing parking restrictions that would apply to the city street as of today. And so if they were already on a port street, my understanding is that they will not be able to stay in there at that specific parking spot more than 24 hours beyond what was permitted by what was paid for in that parking space. And so that those rules will continue to apply. Other existing restrictions like street cleaning and what so on and so forth will continue to be applied.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Adams?
I'm in support. First of all, I applaud the mayor for putting this task force together. And everything that I need to know is right here. It says, if we don't adopt this, the outcome would undermine the goals of the citywide program, create negative impact for the poorest business, residents, and open space. Yep. That says it all that I need to know right there. And I am going to support the poor staff recommendation.
Vice President Emblem.
I guess my only question, I guess it's kind of like, why is this coming to commission? Because I'm not sure. Oh. This feels like something that if it's part of, I've general supportive of this. I guess that's my question. Yeah. Why is this coming to commission?
We're changing code.
Effectively, this harbor traffic code is something that can't be sort of adopted in the way the amendments to the POR code were adopted at the Board of Supervisors. So you're in control of these specific regulations.
Yes.
So we had to bring this item, and we had to bring this item on the open calendar because it is amending a regulation.
Okay, that's kind of just a process question that I had. So I'm supportive.
Thank you. And again, I think all of us are in agreement too on this commission that we commend the mayor for bringing this forward and for SFMTA for addressing this issue, which has caused a lot of concern for neighborhoods. Particularly the southeast sector of our waterfront has been hit hard by this, and I really want to acknowledge their struggles and the struggles of District 10. And I really hope people take advantage of the myriad of programs that the city is offering to help people secure housing. Because this commission is supportive of this. So commissioners, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, so resolution 2554 is adopted, and we are now in alignment with the rest of the city and county of San Francisco. Jenica, next item, please.
Item 11 is new business.
I have recorded some new business. The first is an update on facility conditions, which we will work into the capital improvement plan, a report to you. Also for us to work with the Sea Scout representative and report back to the commission on our findings, as well as the gentleman who issued had an article in this Bayview paper. Finally, and I don't know if I'll get this one exactly right, but that we need to have creative ways and think differently and get into conversations with the fishers about the viability of the fisheries and business going forward and see how we can contribute to a positive outcome for the fishers.
Yeah, and I think I'll just, Director Purvis, because I know there was a lot of this meeting today, so I want to lose it, the processors. So I think we need to form a working group. I don't think the Fisherman's Work Advisory Committee, I forget how the acronym's pronounced. I don't think that's the venue. Mm-hmm. So I think it needs to be something outside of that and seeing maybe if that's something that could be maybe it's something that we can work through our lobbyists. It's something that we can work, or Boris, with our other California ports who are having similar challenges. We can't be the unicorn on this issue. We should be working collectively.
That's fantastic. And we actually have a meeting with the California Association of Port Authorities just this week. So it's an opportunity for me to bring up this conversation and start the dialogue.
Yes.
I think if we help them organize a little bit with that, because I think it's going to have to be beyond city limits here. It's going to be have like a statewide issue. So if we can help, you know, with supporting it with our lobbyists, maybe, you know, to get them a little organized.
The California Association. I think it'd be a great venue for you to bring it up in. But I think we want to participate, and you have commissioners who would like to participate if you need if you need us to.
That'd be great.
And then one thing, I would like to have our communications person talk to this young graduate here. That a lot what he said is because he doesn't understand. I was kind of like Tim when I joined the commission, as I didn't know. But now that I've been here so long and what it takes, I think if he understands, and also we have a federal government that cut our budget a lot. So we were ready to break ground, and now things have slowed down. So I think if Eric somehow can communicate with them and say, look, we understand we're on it, but it's a process, and it costs millions and millions of dollars that we don't have. And all these projects are taking a little money away from us, 20 meters from south, you know, and all these things are just nickeling and diming us. We have to give relief to the salmon fishermen. These are money that, like President Gilman said, we don't have, and basically sets us back. Mm-hmm. So somehow the communication has to go out a little better to these younger people and say, look, we're on it, but it costs money, and we have 7.5 miles to deal with. So somehow we can start engaging on that. That'd be great.
And on top of that, we're not in competition with the Port of Oakland. Right. The Port of Oakland is a container port.
Different.
We're a boutique port. We're totally different. Plus, the Port of Oakland has the airport and the port. And the days that, at one time, the Port of San Francisco was the largest port on the West Coast back in the day, but a lot has changed. And the leadership back then went a different direction. And now it's L.A. Long Beach, which is the largest port, then Oakland, and then Tacoma, Seattle. And he doesn't understand the dynamic. They're not in competition. I think the Port of San Francisco is doing the best they can with their maritime, trying to get general cargo, cruise ships and stuff that they can do. But we have 500-some leases. He may not know that.
Right.
Largest probably is the Giants. Right. So, and then we do a lot of developments that they don't do in the port of Oakland. So I don't think he understands that. Right. It's totally different, a landlord port and a maritime. And he doesn't understand. He had to explain. I appreciate his passion, but he just needs to understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe Andre could write something up for him so he could look at it beside that there is a difference. Thanks.
Actually, sorry. I'm so sorry. We're all just on this point, because I think it's so lovely actually to see a young person come and do public comment and have this passion. Is maybe we could do an op-ed in the paper and see if we can get that in, sort of explaining that we are a landlord port now, the rich history, honoring the history, I think is important, particularly for the Bayview community, but understanding that it's not our decision just to all of a sudden decide that we're going to become a container shipping port again. Mm-hmm. So I think and maybe we could have Andre. I think it would be actually appropriate, the communication. It could be appropriate under your penmanship, maybe just explain who we are and what we do a little bit, and the opportunities for all of our internships and all the things that we do to in reach to the community. We could see if they'll publish it for us. They may not, and then we can put it on our website. But it could be worth it.
Madam President, may I add something to that? I mean, I think that I understand his passion, and some of the factual background was inaccurate, but he felt very passionate about it, and there are probably many people, particularly young people, that may be similarly situated. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
I'd like to not treat him just as an individual, that
right.
this
as
is
a,
kind of a one-off. I think there may be others, maybe mm-hmm. entire communities that might think the same way. So perhaps I like the president's thought around perhaps even an exploration in the same newspaper where he did his research, mm-hmm. or maybe a response from the port, mm-hmm. or an op-ed, or something that explains what we do and how we do it.
I think that's a great recommendation.
Or even a podcast on Maritime from Andre, mm-hmm. that reaches out to that generation, and I think so.
I think just basic education. You know what we're doing now compared to, I mean, just they're smart enough. They know. He just got a little excited looking. I got that way too, looking under Aliotto's.
Yeah. We all feel that way.
No, but
you know?
I think we have to acknowledge it's complex. People don't understand that we're not north of the Hyde Street Pier, right? Mm-hmm. That we're not the Marina Green. That's federal property. There's complexities to what we do. Folks don't understand that we're not every street that's across the street.
Right.
So I just think it's nuance, and whether you're young, old, lived here, born and raised here, or just moved here yesterday, I just think the more we can do this,
I
think to engage the next generation of San Franciscans will be the key for the long-term success of the port. When we're all in our wheelchairs coming up to do public comment to whoever's sitting on these dais.
I won't make
hopefully
it
not in our wheelchairs. I'm never going to be in one, but I'm just saying, you understand it. So on that note, commissioners, I think you have our new items. Is there
Thank
any
you.
Other new business? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor of adjourning this
Aye.
Wonderful
Aye.
Meeting at 4:57 p.m. Aye.
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 Meeting Aye. Is adjourned.